Welcome to Fife's Pulpit by the Sea, coming to you from the wonderful kingdom of Fife in Scotland. And all my friends here that are listening to us welcome you as well. I want to say something before we begin our studies. That I know how amazing human beings can be at this time. We've seen it in our country. How self-sacrificial, how kind, how even loving in times like this, with a strong human resolve that we're going to get through this. Think of Captain Tom doing he was 100 years old, doing his 100 laps round his home to raise millions of pounds. The thing is, you see, we've been created that way. However, and it's a big however, if that is all we are, or all we have, then something is missing. Now, as a Christian minister, my calling is not to tell you of human resolve and human strength like some ministers may do. But my calling is to tell you about Jesus. And my calling is to tell you how you need to be right with him to know complete forgiveness and joy in this time of sadness, indeed in any time. And I would be failing you if I didn't do that. For what good is it if I tell you how strong you should be and how you should face the future, and then you face God with only that ringing in your ears? What good that's going to do you? Good though it may well be, but it's not going to do you any good. No, I will continue to tell you that God is nearer to you than you are to yourself, and continue to call you to be right with him, and continue to call you to leave the things of this earth and look up, see his love on the cross, and find mercy, find forgiveness and peace. And I will tell you of your sin, how dangerous it is, and I won't stop telling you. I will not speak of conspiracy theories or such things, whether they be true or not. But I will always tell you the truth, that you must think and turn to Christ before it's too late. Now today, I want to tell you of a lovely, lovely lady. Her name is Lydia. And I want to read just a part from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, about her and how her life was completely changed. Acts 16, verse 11, says this. And this is the Dr. Luke writing, because it's what we call, as Christians, the we passages of the Acts of the Apostles, where Luke takes over and writes about himself and others. He says this: from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city in the district of Macedonia. We stayed there in that city for several days. And on the Sabbath day, that would be a Saturday, we went outside the city gate by the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women gathered there. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. Now that story tells of a prayer meeting. Now apparently you had to have a certain amount of men to form a synagogue. So it's obviously there weren't enough men in that city to form a synagogue. So they had a time of prayer outside of the city by the river, attended mostly by the ladies. So what I want to do now is to talk to you a little bit about this woman. And I want to introduce to you what I would term a church-going, middle-class lady called Lydia. She's very sincere. She's honest. She is good living. She is a pillar of her society in a place called Philippi. And I think if you met her today, she would no doubt be very, very nice. And you would think she's such a good churchgoer. Maybe she does the flowers and helps out at the coffee mornings. Maybe even she sings in the choir. There can be no question that she's a really nice person. However, Lydia, although she seemed to have her life together, actually there was something she lacked. She was a proselyte to the Jewish faith. That means she was a Gentile initially and then brought into the Jewish faith. So she was obviously somebody who was aware of a life outside this world, something different. And her faith took her so far, and soon she was going to have something to happen to her that would change her life completely. And as I speak, and as I think about this lovely lady called Lydia, just maybe I'm speaking of you. At the moment you can't get to your church meeting, so instead you're listening to me. You may think that's a bit of a come down, but anyway, I'm really glad you're here anyway. You're a nice person, rarely do anybody any harm, and maybe do the flowers in church and entertain people, and are well respected. Maybe you've been a member for 15 or 35 years of your church. But in your heart, hand on heart now, you feel something is not quite right. Well, I want to try and help you. Come with me, if you will, to Europe. Now, I know that Britain has just left Europe, but we're going back. That's not a political statement, by the way, but we're going back to a long, long time ago, to Europe. And we will see the first recorded European convert to Jesus Christ was a lovely lady. This dear lady was a middle-class businesswoman. It's thought that she was. She was into textiles and dealt with very expensive purple dye, which is obtained from shellfish, and it was highly prized. The nobility wore this colour, and it was a very expensive colour to own on the garment, that is. One thing I'll say at this point, and it's that God is interested in everyone, not just the poor or the homeless of society, but also rich and respectable. And here he shows it. Also, please understand that the followers of Jesus were all kinds of ages. A lot of them were young folks. It's best to follow the Lord when you're younger, but if you're older now, then it's still good to follow him. But God is interested in everyone, the rich and respectable, and here he shows it. Also, please understand, the followers of Jesus were from all walks of life. Remember when Jesus was crucified, two very important rich men took his body from the cross. And there are recorded converts in Caesar's household, as well as beggars and fishermen and assassins or zealots. They were Pharisees and the rich also. Anyway, I'll explain to you now what happened and why it had to happen. This dear lady was so near, yet so far, and I'll explain to you why. You see, when God reveals himself to us, he does it in two ways. It is called divine revelation. Those of you that are interested in Christian doctrine, we're going to have just a little bit of it, and I'll make it as simple as I possibly can. And it goes something like this. And because of man's sin, he cannot really know God at all. So God has to take the initiative and reveal himself. And he does it in two ways. In a general sense, and in a personal sense. This is really quite logical. In a general sense, we can see God in creation. As Paul says in Romans 1, we are without excuse, because we can see the Creator in all that he has made. And we understand, in a general sense, there is a God. You go to the deepest depths of a jungle and you'll find a tribe there worshipping something. Because, in a sense, we know that there is a God. There is a conscience within us that tells us there are certain rules. So general revelation is when God reveals himself in a general way to everyone, so that everyone understands there is a God, and everyone in that sense is without excuse. Then there is the personal or special revelation. In general revelation, we know something about God in a general sense. In special revelation, we are personally introduced to him. It is sometimes called saving revelation. So what happens to people like Lydia is that they know and believe there is a God. They attend church. But God has not made himself known to them personally. Now people today are like Lydia, are precious. For they know there is a God. They go to church and try to be good in order to please him. They're definitely not those like those who don't even understand or want to know that there is a God. Paul speaks of them and he says that they're just under the wrath of God. They think there's a God, but they just ignore him and rebel against him. No, the Lydias are being drawn to God, gently. And in our story we see that happening. And in your life, maybe it's happening right now. God, I believe, has laid this story upon my heart. Every week I ask God to help me to say what I need to say coming on the Sunday. Now, there's nothing special about me or mystical about this. This is the way most preachers go about. And I ask God to help me. And just for you, I have brought this. So you'll have to be honest with yourself right now. Now, what is important is to understand the way God moves you from a general revelation to a special revelation. And that is just what happened to Lydia. Let's see. She was so devoted, she went with the other ladies to a place of prayer by the river. And we are told that despite all of this devotion, she at that point didn't know Jesus. So what happened? Well, firstly, we see that Paul, Luke, Silas and young Timothy found out there was a prayer meeting taking place by the river. So they joined it. Now, Paul today, sadly, is accused of being a misogynist. He doesn't like women, which is a load of poppycock, to be quite honest. It's not really true. He was not a misogynist. But here, you see, he joined a group of ladies for prayer. He didn't say, no, I'm not going down there. They're all women. I'm not going to do that. No. He joined the ladies for prayer. Then Paul began using the Old Testament, of course, to show them that Jesus is their Messiah. They listened, but at first, of course, Lydia's heart remained closed. But then as Paul showed her how things were true about Jesus, God then did something absolutely wonderful. As Paul spoke, the Lord opened her heart. What a wonderful phrase that is, isn't it? And he completed his revelation of himself. She saw the truth and she believed, and her heart was open like a flower to the sun. You know, when the sun shines bright. Aye, it does happen here in Scotland from time to time. In fact, today was quite a lovely day. And the sun shines bright and it travels millions of miles and it hits a flower. And it strangely warms the flower. And the flower then opens to receive that warmth. This was Lydia's heart. It just opened to receive the warmth of God. And this might come as a shock to some people. How then could a lovely, gentle God-fearing lady, who at great cost had declared herself as a believer in God, despite being surrounded by idols in a place that there weren't enough men to form a synagogue, how could she read the scriptures, be utterly faithful in prayer and witness, and yet God says her heart was closed? He had to open it. And this is what God does, you see. He's the one that opens hearts. We hear so often, give your heart to Jesus. But in the end, it is God who opens the heart. I once read a story, and I couldn't find it, but I genuinely read this, of a minister who preached faithfully every Sunday, but without much passion. and without much empathy with his congregation. His words seemed to have little conviction, and his sermons were dry and boring, endless quotes of philosophers and poets and various things. You know that kind of thing, don't you? I've sat through them before and I had trouble keeping awake. Then one day, he was preaching, apparently, and he stopped. And he read some scripture, and he says, "Now." He says, "Now, now, I see it." And someone in the congregation shouted out, "Praise God, the minister's just got converted." Now the truth was that his heart was closed, but then it was opened by God to see the truth. Just like Lydia. You see, this is the truth, and I think that this may be some of you listening. You're a good person, deny that. You're kind, loving and gentle, very religious, but you're still searching. You've not really, truly found that peace with God. And the reason is very simple. The reason is that your heart is still closed. There is not a criticism of you. By any means, I wouldn't dream of criticizing you. But you're like Lydia. And it's only when God has mercy on you and opens your heart, you'll know that God has done it. Let me give you a couple of instances of the beauty of this happening. And I may have told this story before, and there are other stories I could tell, but I want to pick out two that actually happened. The conversion of a lady called Elsie. Now, Elsie, I believe, now is with the Lord. But she was in our fellowship in Brighton, which was quite a fellowship of young folks. And she was a really nice, God-fearing lady with a lovely family who we contacted during our door-to-door work. And she came faithfully to worship. And she smiled and she had all the right Christian look about her, if you know what I mean. Then one morning, I was preaching and I happened to mention Lydia's heart opening. This was many, many years ago, 30 or so years ago. And after the sermon, she ran straight to me. And she said, "It was me. I wanted to shout out when you were preaching, I'm like her, it's me." And God had opened Elsie's heart in her 70s. Bless her. Her husband Bob was dying, and I was with him at his deathbed, holding his hand, asking him if he knew the Lord Jesus, and he squeezed my hand tight as he could, and died. But afterwards Elsie said to me, and this was so beautiful, she says, "Now, Pastor John, can I become a missionary, please?" She was only in her 70s, she was just young really. And I said, "Elsie, if you want to be." Well, she went into a Christian retirement home. And there she met a delightful gentleman, a young man, getting into about his 80s. And she fell hopelessly in love. She said to me, "You know, I feel so silly, like a teenager. We're holding hands on the bus. We're kissing. We're looking at each other adoringly." She married him. But Elsie's heart, however delightful and lovely she was closed. Until God opened it. Let me give you another example in Brighton. As a young Chinese girl, we had a lot of Chinese students in the church in Brighton. It was full of young folks and international students. And her name was Anne. And she attended faithfully to the church and our Chinese fellowship meetings. She took notes avidly, listened intently, but remained closed to the gospel. Then one Sunday night after the ministry had been ministering, she went back to her digs. And then it was 7 a.m. around about then, probably even earlier, on Monday morning, that she woke us up banging on our door. Bang, bang, bang. I thought, what on earth's happening? Because, you know, when you're a pastor, all kinds of wonderful things happen. But she was banging away. And I went down to the door and opened it, and there stood Anne, going from one foot to the other, saying in her Chinese accent, "I'm so hoppy, I'm so hoppy, I'm so hoppy." I'd been up all night, she says, walking around outside till I could wait no more. I must tell you, God has opened my heart. Now I believe in Jesus, my Saviour. Isn't that beautiful? That really happened, truly and honestly. I don't mind being woken up at 7 in the morning by somebody who's so hoppy. It's wonderful. But in our story, I want you to notice the words the Holy Spirit uses in Scripture, because they're very instructive. The text says that she, Lydia, heard us, Dr. Luke records this, then it seems as Paul was speaking, regeneration, what we call it, of our heart came completely alive. And immediately this happened, we read that she attended or began to heed, and the Greek word there is prosecco, which is nothing to do with the stuff that we drink at weddings, which is very palatable, but it's nothing to do with that. It means to move her mind. She moved her mind towards and paid attention and adhered to. It implies a distinct moving towards. Pros has that sense to it. So what happened is this. Luke and everyone spoke with the women. Lydia's heart remained closed. Then as Paul was speaking, God miraculously brought her heart to life and opened it. And as an evidence of that, her mind then moved towards what Paul was saying. You see, you've got to have an open heart before you can really understand the Bible. And she began to listen intently and understand about Jesus being the Messiah. In that short sermon, began to make sense. God was speaking to her. You know, at the end of a service, sometimes, I don't have a church building at the moment at all, but in the past, at the end of a service, you'd stand at the door in some churches. Not really, poor minister doesn't really know what to do. They just stand at the door, shaking hands with everybody. I suppose nothing else you can do, I suppose. And people would say, "Thank you, minister. I enjoyed your speech. You looked as if you meant it." Now you know that their heart was still closed. Another would come and say, "John, that really spoke to me. How did you know me? You seem to know all about me. You seem to be speaking straight to my heart." Now I wasn't, of course. It was God, not me. I'm just a daft donkey. I'm just a messenger. But here was a heart that was open. Another might hit you on the head with a brolly and tell you to get back from whence you came and to do it quickly. You get all kinds of folks that say all kinds of things. But Lydia the gentlewoman was added to the church that day as the first recorded European convert, a lady. It was the Lord who opened her heart. It was a miracle of grace. What happened then, next? Well, Lydia, remember, lived in a hostile city. It was a big thing to profess the faith in Christ, but she was eager. So she got her whole family together, and they were all baptized. They might know Christ also. Her and her household, probably servants, and her family were baptized. It was a very brave thing for her to do in that situation. Then, and this is so sweet, the one whom God had opened the heart of then opened her home, displaying another indication of true conversion. "Now, Lydia, I have this to say to you. I admire your resolve, especially in a day when Christian faith is so despised. I admire your dedication. So let me in love now tell you this. You lack something. We both know, Lydia, don't we, that there is a God. He is our creator. You've probably never denied that. Also, you know that breaking God's laws, that is sin, which is not to love him with all your heart. You're not to lie or desire things that are not yours. And I know you are careful not to use his name wrongly. As Jesus said to the rich young man in the New Testament, he said he'd done everything he possibly could. But there is one important thing, Lydia, you lack. And I believe, hand on heart, right now you know it. is that although you're aware of sin in a general sense and God's anger towards it, and have tried not to sin, and what I have to say next, you might not like at all. And indeed, I want to say this, that how you respond right now will show your heart. But the truth is that you have never really understood that it is you, and you are just as guilty. It is you who need a saviour. So you try to please God by living well, but you cannot, Lydia, please God by doing that. If you could, then why did God send his only begotten son to be beaten and smashed and cruelly put on the cross if you could do it yourself? You can't. You can't. Let me level with you. Your soul is more precious than anything in this world. What if a man gain the whole world, says Jesus, and lose his soul? It profits nothing. And anything you can do or possess, your soul is worth more. When your body is given up, the real you, your soul, continues and will be judged by your sin. And this is where you see God has acted. He came in Jesus, perfect God and perfect man, to live a perfect sinless life. Not as an example for you to try and follow and be good, but as an offering for you. And he gave his perfect life and death, so he took the place of all those who are made willing to turn to him to acknowledge their personal sin that has caused this and come to repentance. It means, repentance means turning your back on sin and turning to Jesus and taking yourself and your sin to him. You see, I'm being straight here with you, Lydia. It's your sin that put Jesus on the cross. Don't look around at other people who are less fortunate than you are or are less religious than you are. No, no. Every one of us, our sin put Jesus on the cross, and yours is no exception. And you must trust that it is for your sin he died. And you must turn to him right now. But if your heart is closed, you cannot turn to him. It is impossible to give God your heart if it's closed. You'll never do it. Or you'll never know your sin. But listen, if God opens your heart, and I believe he's touching you right now, then it will burst wide open. It will burst open to his forgiveness and love, and it will in turn turn to God and love Jesus as your saviour. And if God opens your heart, there is nothing you can do, Lydia, to stop it. Lydia, dear Lydia, is God opening your heart right now? I'm your friend, I really am, and I want to help you. For God says this to you. Let me read this. He says this, that he came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, that's the Jews, and even they rejected him. But now listen to this. I remember when I first discovered this text, it thrilled my heart so much. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not of a physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. God causes your heart to be open. God goes on to say, for this is how God loved this world, that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. If God has opened your heart, then I want you to do something with me now, will you? I know we're maybe hundreds, thousands of miles away, or maybe just down the road. It doesn't matter. Will you hold my hand and let me pray with you and help you to pray? And say, Lord Jesus, remember me. I come to you. I have tried to live right, but no, my heart was closed. But now I see my heart is opening like a flower to you, and my eyes see your sacrifice on the cross was for me. Now I see and understand that it was my sin, my wretched wickedness, that caused you to go to the cross. So just as I am, I come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Here is my sin. I'm sorry. Here I am, forgive me. Give me your Holy Spirit to fill this open heart and love you forever. And let this moment be the end of me and the beginning of you in my life forever. Amen. Finally, dear Lydia, dear one, I have accompanied this sermon with my prayer that listening to this you will find forgiveness and peace. But if your heart remains closed, I have another prayer for you. I pray that God will give you no peace until you find peace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. May God bless you, keep you, turn his face towards you, and grant you his peace. Amen.